Welcome back to Beyond Well. I'm Sheila Hamilton, and this is a program for people who want to learn more about our interior lives. And we often think when we're sick, when we're stressed, who do we go to? Our physicians. But the rate of physician burnout is its own medical crisis. To talk with us about burnout and physicians is Dr. Elliot Trotter. He's CEO and founder of ScribeNest. And we're going to be talking about physician burnout and what he thinks we can do about it. Hi, Dr. Trotter. It's good to see you.
Thanks for inviting me, and happy to get the message out and help our fellow humans and healthcare workers through this crisis.
Our fellow humans. So many of us, especially patients, seem to think that doctors don't suffer from stress because they're non-human somehow.
Well, that's exactly right. That's part of the issue, is that we're held to a higher standard, both internally and from an external viewpoint. And this striving for perfection is something that it's just impossible. I mean, we can be great. We can do a very good job, but we'll never be perfect. So it's something that is really stressful for us and really stressful for our patients. But I think embracing that imperfection, and Brené Brown is a social worker who is famous for her works on this, Gifts of Imperfection, is one of her books, and it's something that I share with a lot of healthcare workers, just embracing the fact that we will never be perfect, and to just do the best that we can. And when you go home every day, you sort of pat yourself on the back and say, you know, it was a stressful day, lots of patients in need. I did the best that I could, but I know I wasn't perfect. And it's just something that we have to embrace.
You've been talking about the three areas of stress points that are coming up for people, and increasing technology has to be one that is driving a lot of docs crazy. I see the way the charts follow you around and the little machines or robot machines you have to enter all the information into, and just how different it is than when you could sit down with the doctor and actually look eye to eye and tell them what was going on.
Well, you're exactly right. The amount of documentation and the amount of increased burden is one of the largest causes of burnout. The electronic record, which has pretty much become mainstream since, you know, about the year 2008 or so, has just been increasingly more and more of a burden to document. And so that's why I invented the original Scribes back in the mid-90s. It was seen as a luxury in the paper world, and in the electronic world, it's a necessity. So it's a great tool for physicians to be able to have their documentation done by someone at elbow, a medical scribe, and yet the physician is able to pay attention to the patient. And so it's a win-win situation.
Did you run it off of AI in the beginning?
No, but it was originally a paper version, and then it's, of course, the electronic record. And it slows the physician and other healthcare workers down by about 30%. So yeah. Typically, at the end of the day, you're either spending another hour or two either at work or, worse, at home, finishing up your documentation. So with the advent of AI, we'll be able to decrease some of that burden and potentially, you know, help the scribe's efficiency. It's going to be a long time before that's time neutral. People have been thinking that this is going to happen for decades, and it's still, we're at the precipice of a real big change, but it's still, we've been looking at some of the products that are out there currently. They're fairly helpful in the outpatient world in the physician's office, but in the emergency department, they don't quite have the flexibility that we needed to do. But we certainly look forward to AI enhancing the ability of our scribes, and also for physicians who aren't quite that busy, to be able to really augment their lives as well.
I think from the patient perspective, most of us have observed that doctors have far less time to be able to spend with us. Emergency rooms are overcrowded. Doesn't seem like there is enough nurses to go around anymore, especially post-COVID. They lost a lot of that support staff and administrative staff. Are you seeing the same thing from the doctor's perspective?
Absolutely. Burnout in healthcare is rampant. It will affect 80 to 90% of physicians at some point during their career. At any one moment, probably 30% or more are burned out or having a moral injury, we call it, is the more accurate description of it. Emergency medicine physicians experience this at one of the highest rates of all. It's over 50% of emergency physicians are said at any one moment to be in a burnout sort of situation.
It, like the hypervigilance that you have to carry to work every single day, and then the excruciating hours that ER physicians work. I don't know how you've made it to your age still being an emergency room physician.
And this for 35 years. I work at Well, we're number six in the nation as far as the volume of patients that we see. It's about 140,000 patients a year, and it's very fast-paced. It's a regional referral center, a trauma center, and so it really is fast-paced. And like you say, in the emergency department, nobody wakes up that morning planning on going to the ER. It's a stressful situation. So my job, 80% of my job, is to make you feel confident in the fact that you're in a place that's competent to take care of you, and to let you know what this day is going to look like. Are you going to have to be admitted in the hospital? Are you going to have surgery? What tests are you going to need to do?
Yeah, exactly. On the mental health side, and this is really interesting to me because I speak to a lot of physician groups that say that doctors themselves do not get mental health care help because they are so afraid of it impacting their ability to practice medicine. Is that still as big a problem as I've seen it to be? And what are some of the solutions that you've seen people create so that physicians, when they actually do need some counseling or need a little break, can take it?
Well, what you're talking about is the stigma of burnout, not being able to thrive in the thing that you train for. There used to be that you had to check off when you were going to reapply for physician privileges. You'd have to check that box off. Are you on any antidepressants, et cetera? So back not too long ago, physicians would go to another county and see a psychiatrist, et cetera, that they didn't know, give an alias so they could get medication. So
Oh my gosh.
And it was just a horrible situation. It's more open now, but there's still a little bit of personal stigma, if nothing else, about the fact that you feel like you can't express that. And so a lot of people sort of keep that tied to the belt. And a lot of it's internal too. It's like,
Yeah.
is there something wrong with me that I can't handle this situation? It's so important to reach out to your fellow physicians, your fellow healthcare workers when you're feeling a time of stress. And to most importantly, know that it's okay to reach out to others when you feel
Yeah.
in that situation. I have a PowerPoint talk that I give to residents, emergency physicians, other healthcare workers, but I really need to start at the pre-med level to understand that this is okay, that this is not you, it's the system that's the issue. That it's okay to know that it's likely going to happen to you. And when that happens, to help out each other. And one of the things that I'll ask at the end of that PowerPoint is to say, look to your left, look to your right. At any one moment, one of you is going to be burned out, and know that it's not an issue. I want you to reach out to two people today and ask them, are you feeling okay? Because we all know people that we think might be dealing with that, and know that if nothing else, you'll open up that space that that person may not reach out to you today, but they'll know that you're a safe person to reach out to when they have an issue, and that you can help them walk through this. But this sort of external microscope that we're underneath, and the internal microscope, is really something that we're just taught that this perfection that we're supposed to have, and it's just impossible to achieve. We self-examine each other, and it's an intrinsic thing that we do. And it's this time of crisis, especially in the Western countries, are just so much more competitive now. And so this sense of community and camaraderie is really more important now than ever.
I've been thinking just about hospital systems and the way healthcare is funded in the United States of America and seeing more hospital groups making tons and tons of money. But talking to my physician friends and my friends who are in the healthcare support services, they're not making more money. And I can imagine that that's also a source of stress for the physicians that are providing the care. It's like your parent company's doing well, but on the end of the people doing all the work, it's a tremendous amount of strain.
For sure, when you're working for a corporation, a lot of the headaches are taken off of the plate for you. So it does sort of take care of that side of it. But then there's the other things about being a, let's say, solo family practitioner, et cetera. That's becoming a dinosaur. It's just impossible to deal with all the regulatory stuff, and also just dealing with the insurance companies and things. It's become a tremendous hurdle to overcome.
Do you foresee any change? Is the healthcare system in your mind, Dr. Trotter, going to have to collapse before true meaningful change comes in? Because I've heard from doctors who say, I can no longer get Medicare to cover the drugs I need for the heart transplant patient, or I can't get Medicare even get on the phone to give us the prior approval. They're not speaking to doctors anymore. And I can only imagine how frustrating that is on your end, because I have 70% of it as the consumer, but I'm not desperate to get my patient care.
The hurdles that the insurance companies are putting up in front of us now. If you're in a small office, it takes about five administrative folks just to keep up with having to call all the different insurance companies and getting pre-approval and all that sort of thing. And yet, the reimbursement for that service doesn't even cover the office, the staff that you have to do that with, much less being able to take anything home. So it really has become a very tenable situation where, people say that, a single payer system may have to come to the answer. And of course, then comes the inefficiencies, how those look. And, if you're healthy, it works out. But
Once you
there's
get
stories of
sick.
long lines to wait to
Totally.
get your gallbladder out. And so
Totally. Yeah, that makes total sense. Explain
we
just very briefly how it is that your system works to try to alleviate, especially the technological stress that doctors are experiencing.
So when I invented the modern scribe 29 years ago, it was seen as a luxury in the paper world. That's when the big amount of documentation was required by the government and other payers to sort of prove that you had done, taking care of the patient. And so it's a good thing to have to document more than what we had to back before that time. But it was really something that I said, well, let me figure out a system. There have been places that had done sort of a medical assistant sort of scribe sort of situation, but I really focused on, let's just make sure that we get this documentation correct and what it is that we need to have on the chart. And so started off with five pre-med students. They all became leaders in their field, and it was very cool. People heard about this throughout the Metroplex, DFW, and then from around the country. And so I helped the various places, start scribe programs. And so now I'm back in it just because the mom and popness, the sort of symbiotic relationship with the physician and the scribe had been lost. And so we really focus with Scribe Nest, we really focus on that symbiotic relationship. We give mentorship, education, and gratitude to all of our scribes every day because they're there, they're trying to learn, they're learning about what medicine looks like, what the terminology is. They work with multiple different physicians and sort of learn their different personalities and how they deal with things. Working in the emergency department, you get to see what a cardiologist does, a surgeon, et cetera. So you really get that opportunity to really get entrenched into that. So by the time you get to medical school, PA school, or nursing school, you have a huge leg up on everybody else in your class.
Cool.
Yeah, you understand how things work. And to a person, they all come back and say, wow, I really ran circles around everybody else in my class because of the experience that I had as a scribe.
Well,
So it's
that's
really cool.
amazing. I've loved finding out about your job and your invention, and especially discussing the topic of burnout for our healthcare officials. Thanks so much, Dr. Trotter. It's been wonderful to speak with you.
You are certainly welcome. Good talking with you.